What are the benefits of belonging to a church, and what blessings do you receive when you go to church? Now consider that for just a few moments. You know, in today's day and age, it's one of those circumstances or situations where you don't hear a whole lot about church membership anymore. And then when people do, they say, well, you know, what is the advantage of actually joining the church or being a part of it? Now, as we get started today, there's one thing that I want you to keep in mind as we go forward with our Bible study today is this. Church is not all about what you can get. It's also about what you can give. It's not about it, church simply being a blessing just to you, but the fact that you can be a blessing to other people as well. So as you consider that, why is it that you think many people don't realize this? Well, part of that is because they're not told anymore. You know, from the pulpit, church membership is not a big deal anymore. But yet... what does it mean to belong to a church? What does it mean to put your efforts and your energies into it, to be attached to a church? Now, in today's day and age, you don't see that very much anymore, particularly with the new type contemporary churches that are coming up. You don't really see or hear a whole lot about church membership anymore. And I hope to address that here in just a few minutes. But today we're going to be looking at going to the house of God out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So grab your Bible. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today. If you've got your Bible, I mentioned a minute ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 1 through 7. And we're going to be discussing going to the house of God. Now, when we think about that, and if I just said, hey, let's go to the house of God, you probably would have conjured up in your mind that we're going to get in the car, we're going to go down to the church house, and you know, whether it's a worship service day or whether it's to do some project or whatever, that's what kind of sticks in your mind. Well, let's look at going to the house of God out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. It says this. It says that we should walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come into your presence today, we do so grateful and thankful for your word, grateful and thankful for your church, grateful and thankful for the opportunities that we have to just come together and do life together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that after we view these verses out of the book of Ecclesiastes, that we will view how we attend and we will view church on a different level than what we have before. May we be connected, Father. May we draw closer to you as we take those times and opportunities to go to the house of God, that we might learn and draw close to you. So, Father, right now, I just pray that you would bless each heart of every listener. I pray that you would give the words of wisdom and guidance to this, your servant, that you alone would be exalted and lifted up. And, Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we look at our text today, King Solomon gave some specific instructions for going to the house of God. Now, the church today is different from the Jewish temple in the days of the Old Testament, and I get that. I mean, I've had discussions with folks before, and I say, well, church today is different than it was, you know, back in the days of the Old Testament. When you think about that, the Jewish temple, when you think about the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant being there, and that was the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God, and it was in an area where, you know, only the chief priest could go in, you know, once a year to with the sacrifices for the atonement of the sins of the people, and things are, they're completely different today because Jesus Christ is our high priest. So first of all, I understand the differences between the Old Testament days of the Jewish temple and church as we know it and as we call it today. But have you ever noticed that people still refer to church as the house of God? A few moments ago when I was mentioning that to you, I said, if I were to say to you, let's go down to the church, or let's go to the house of God, some people still refer to it that way. Why is it that you think that people still call it the house of God? Well, to give you a short answer, that was essentially what it was called back in the days of the Jewish temple in the old days, because remember what I said a moment ago, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, that represented the presence of God, and that was the place where he was housed, and therefore people called it the house of God, the church, and that's often what we'll refer to church as today. I'm going down to the house of God, depending on how, you know, particular you want to be. Now Solomon said something very interesting about going to the house of God. And we find that in the first part of our text, actually in verse 1. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. What Solomon was saying there is he is saying that we need to be careful. It says walk prudently. You know, when you're getting ready to enter in, you know, to a place, and I'm even talking about today, you know, the church is a place where the Holy Spirit can show up in a very powerful way. Now, I know some folks would say, well, I've got the Holy Spirit with me all the time. You are correct. You do. As a believer, you do. Some people say that, when we come together, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is there and the Spirit of the Lord is present, which is true. But, you know, we can stifle the presence of the Holy Spirit as well. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit's going to leave you as a believer, because he doesn't. But what I am saying is that there are things that we can do that could stifle the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives personally, in the lives of those that are around us, and can also do that church-wide when people come together. So Solomon was saying back then, and it holds true to this very day, that we need to guard our steps when we go to the house of God. We're talking about the house of God when you're talking about church. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, I don't know. I think that's a little bit different today than it was back then. Well, I don't agree that that's different, because it is a place where we can go and we can meet God. Now, when we go to church, it is better to draw near and listen than to offer what the Word says, or what Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes. He called it the sacrifice of fools. So let me backpedal a minute. So when we go into the church, it is better for us to draw near to listen than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Now, what would the sacrifice of fools be? You know, there are people who go in and they say things, they do things that you really don't mean, you really don't believe, and I'll cover that a little bit more in just a minute. But here's the one thing that you need to understand is that no matter what's taking place, no matter what is going on, you are never going to fool God. Remember, we said a minute ago that as a believer, the Spirit is there with you. He knows your heart. He knows the intent of your heart. He knows when you're, you know, putting on fronts for other people to see. He knows how serious you are or how unserious you are when you come into the house of the Lord. But when you come in to the church, my question for you is simply this. Do you draw near to listen? Now, I've often been taught this over the years, and I have found it to be very, very true. If your mouth is running, your ears have a tendency not to be listening as they ought to be. It is about taking that opportunity to be still in the presence of God, to hear what it is that He wants to say to you, especially when you come into His house, when you come in to the church, okay? Do you do that? When you enter into the church, is it a place of reverence? Is it a place where you go in seeking God, where you go in listening to what it is that He might want to say to you? Because He's going to say something to you. I will promise you that. Now, sometimes people sit back and say, oh, well, our pastor's no good. Well, listen, God's word does not return void. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a pastor. The Holy Spirit doesn't really need anybody. If you go in and you go in listening, if you go in seeking, then you will find. The word tells us that. It doesn't return void, and He promises that if we seek, we will truly find. Now, when we draw near to God in worship, okay, how is it that we can prepare our hearts to hear Him speak? How many times have you been in church and you've heard the pastor? I know that if you've been in our church, you've heard me say, you know, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Okay, how do you do that? How do you make preparation in your heart for worship? Well, a couple things that you can do is realize that all of the things that are bombarding you through, you know, your life, through the day, the circumstances and the situations, you need to kind of be able to check them at the door and say, I'm not going to let these things continue to overwhelm me when I have this opportunity to come into the presence of the Lord, when I get an opportunity to hear from Him. You know, for these next moments or however long it may be, I am going to give God my undivided attention. I am going to listen. I'm going to be seeking what it is that He wants to tell me. So when we can prepare our hearts, another way that we can do that when we come to church is when we think about the hymns that we sing. Yeah, I always tell our folks here at Central, I don't need filler. We don't sing songs because I need something to fill the time slot. I certainly don't need that. I mean, I could go for hours on preaching about God's word and bragging about Him. So we don't do that just because we need something to do to make the service seem a little bit better. We do that to prepare our hearts for worship. When you look at the songs that you sing, whether they're hymns, whether they're praise choruses, whatever it may be, is it truly a song in your heart or is it a song on your lips? Now, I think that you probably know what I'm talking about when I say that. What I'm meaning is, are we just going repetitiously through the motions? Well, I know this song and I know what it is and I'm just, I'm on cruise control and I'm just singing the songs and I'm not truly expressing how my heart feels to God through the songs that we're singing. I want to challenge you, if you're not doing that, to do that. I want you to consider the words that are coming out of your mouth into the presence of the ears of God Almighty. I want you to concentrate on taking those times musically to prepare your heart to be able to hear God speak to you loudly and clearly. And I will make you this promise. If you do that, you will hear Him speak. Now, when I say you'll hear God speak, what ways does He do that? I mean, how does God speak to us? Now, if you've ever been around for many years or been in church or involved in a church for any amount of time, you have probably had an opportunity, at least I know over the past 30 years, to be able to take part in a study called Experiencing God. It was written by Henry Blackaby. Many folks, probably many of you that are listening to this broadcast, have actually gone through Experiencing God. And one of the things that he teaches us, which is very true, is how God speaks to us. So God speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through the circumstances of our lives. And He speaks to us through messages that you hear in church. Now, those are just a few of the ways, but those are the main ways. Through His Word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through messages in your church. These are ways that God takes time and opportunity to be able to speak to us. So when we enter into any of those realms, are we truly and fully there? I mean, when you take that time to pray, are you really in prayer mode? Or are you, kind of multitasking and doing something else while you're attempting to pray? Is your mind really there? When you get into God's Word and you read it, and you get into maybe some passages of Scripture, are you really there, or is something going on? Are we allowing things around us to interrupt us? Because I'll make you this promise. If Satan can distract us from any of these methods or ways that God speaks to us, he is going to do it. I love hearing people sit back and say, well, you know what? I've been trying to pray, especially before I go to bed, but I always fall asleep. Let me tell you something. You will never be more tired than when you get into bed and try to start to pray. You know, you need to make sure that you're in a position by which that God has your full attention, because if God doesn't have your full attention, then you're not going to have his full attention, and you're not going to hear what it is that he has to say to you. Now, it's really interesting. When he says, you know, in that verse 1, he talks about the fact that he said, don't offer the sacrifice of fools. You know, a fool, you know, a lot of us have a different definition for that. But when you think about that, you know, we think, well, that's silly. Don't go in there playing some sort of part. I can recall a place in the scripture where a person who brought a sacrifice into the house of the Lord. And of course, the prophet said, well, listen, I know your heart. You know, your heart is not in the right place. You have aught against your brother. And he said, what you need to do is you need to leave the sacrifice here, go mend the fences with your brother, then come back and offer the sacrifice. Okay? Don't be that person who goes in there thinking that by some stretch of the imagination, you are fooling God about what's really going on with you, because God knows. Now, there's something else that God wants more than anything. You know, people, you know, and like I say, I'm making a comparison. Remember, this was Old Testament days when they used to still have to bring the sacrifice. In the New Testament day, our day and age, Jesus Christ has been our sacrifice. But he says that people often will come in to the house of the Lord and offer the sacrifice of fools. So I want to give you a passage. You don't have to turn there, but it comes out of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And it tells us this. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" That's a question. Let me go back to it again. Has the Lord as great delight in a burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So you know what? You know, when you look at this, the Lord's saying, you know, hey, look, I appreciate the sacrifice. I appreciate what you want to do. But what I would rather you be is obedient to me and obedient to my word. The sacrifice is good, but those two need to go hand in hand. Obedience. So my question would be, you know, are you going in obediently? Is the sacrifice of your time, your tithe, your talent, and all those things, are they being done for the right reasons? Are you listening to what it is that God is telling you? Say, when your heart is not right with God, it is foolish to offer sacrifices to him. Where is your heart? That's what you need to test every time that you walk into the house of the Lord. That's what you need to test every time when you want to get into his word. Is your heart right with him? Are you being obedient to him? Are you following what it is that God is telling you? You know, what does God desire more than sacrifice? The word tells us obedience. Are you being obedient to him? Now, when we draw near to God, Solomon tells us in verses 2 through 4 that we need to let our words be few. Remember what I said as we started our broadcast, that if our mouth is engaged in running all the time, then our ears aren't doing a very good job of being able to take in, you know, and hear what we need to hear. So my question to you is, as you take those times and opportunities, as you go into the church, you know, are you being quiet? I'm going to make a statement that probably will not be popular with a lot of people. I think that some environments can be too noisy. I think some environments can be too busy and too loud. I like what the Lord told us in his word. He said sometimes we need to be still in his presence. And when you're still in his presence, I've shared this with our people at Central Baptist before. I said sometimes it's good just to go into the presence of God and be quiet. Because when you all of a sudden become quiet, quiet gets loud. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the harder you listen, the more you will pick up, the more that you concentrate on that. So I think at times we need to let our words be few so that our ears can be engaged, so that God can tell us and show us what it is that He wants for us, what He wants for our life, how He wants to answer our prayers in regard to something maybe we're lifting up to Him. Now, when we talk about the word reverent, I want to give you a textbook definition of what reverent means. Now, you know, we're always told, when you're in the house of God, you need to do so with a reverent spirit. Well, okay, that's good. What does that mean? According to an online dictionary, this is how reverent is defined. It's defined as feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. Get that? Feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. In other words, when you come into the house of the Lord, are you respecting the Lord? Are you respecting what it is that that He has for you, what it is that He is wanting to say to you? Or have you just come in simply to just say, oh, well, this is what we do on Sundays. This is what I've always done. I show up, I spend my time, I go away. This has given us some great, great pointers on what we should do as we worship when we show up at church, when we show up at the house of the God of God. According to Solomon, the wisest man to ever walk, that when we enter into the house of God, we need to do so with our hearts right. We need to do so in a quiet and reverent spirit. Now, you know, some people are sitting back and going, oh, okay, well, preacher, you know, that's not the kind of church I like. Well, you know, I'm just reading it from the Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing off on any other types of churches or worship services or whatever. But man, I tell you one thing. If you can't hear yourself think, how are you going to be able to hear God communicate with you? Okay? So the Word tells us, the wisest man on earth, through the direction, the leadership of God, has penned this in the Word of God, where he says that as we come into his house, we should do so with few words, and we should do so with a sense of reverence. Now, my question is, are you being reverent as you enter into the house of the Lord? You know, are you being reverent before God? We've said that as we do our Bible studies, that there are things that, one of the things I've asked you to do is look for examples to follow. All right, this is a great example to follow. Being reverent before God as you go into his house. That is extremely important. You know, sometimes I think God's sitting there going, man, what are these people doing? And I know that there are people will sit back and say, well, this is the way I worship. This is what I do. Well, okay, as long as that's effective for you, but what does the Word tell you? Is it reverent? And you know, you might say this is my style, but if it's an irreverent style, then I think you need to check up on some things, okay? If it's reverent, that's perfectly fine. If it's a way you can communicate with God and God can communicate with you, I think that's critical. You know, sometimes we're really good at communicating with God. We're telling him all the stuff that we want, the things that we want to see, what we want to do, and our mouth is always in gear. But how about God being able to speak to you? You got to be listening for that to happen. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast knows what I'm talking about when I say you've had somebody in your life that's not listening to what's going on. They're busy doing something. They're trying to multitask. And all you're really getting is, I got you. And you know in your heart of hearts, they're really not listening. You know, is that what God thinks about you when you enter into his house for worship services? Is that what he thinks when you enter into your time of Bible study, or you enter into your time of being a part of a small group? Does he really have your attention? Really? You know, one of the interesting things was there was a fellow that I knew, and I've shared this before, but his son was always really, really busy. I mean, he was always doing stuff. So when the little boy's daddy needed to tell him something and needed to get his attention, he would call him by name. He would call him over. He would put one hand on either side of his face, and he would look him straight in the eye, and he would have the youngster look him straight in the eye. Well, the reason he did that was because he needed to have the child's undivided attention because of something that he needed to tell him. And he knew that's what he had to do to make sure that he had his undivided attention, that he was listening, that he was going to hear what he was getting ready to say to him. And I thought that was great. I mean, it was so interesting to watch. But that was how he made sure that his son got the picture when there was something that he needed to tell him. Now, Solomon also says some things about making vows to the Lord down in verses 5 and 6. Let's go down there and look at those. This is what he says. Verse 5 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5 says, But better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Let me repeat that because I think it's important. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Verse 6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Yeah, and that has a question mark after. You know what? Basically, this passage is telling us, look, don't go making promises to God that you're not going to keep. And I think that every one of us have done that at some point in our lives. You know that time when you're like, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never miss church again. Or Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll be that Sunday school teacher. Or Lord, if you get me through this, then I'll read my Bible every day. Every last one of us have made promises like that to the Lord. And Solomon is telling us in the book of Ecclesiastes that it is better for you not to make a vow than to the Lord than to make a vow and break it. Okay? Think about it. Why is it better that you not make that vow to God than to make one and not keep it? Why would you say that it's better not to do that? Listen, be a person of integrity. Be a person of your word. When you tell somebody that you're going to do something, you need to do it. Now, remember what God was also saying. We talked about it in one of the previous verses. He said, you know what? He said, I am more interested in your obedience than your sacrifice. Okay? You're not going to make God do something that he wouldn't otherwise have done by you trying to make him promises, and especially those that you're not going to keep. And by the way, he already knows you're not going to keep them. Yeah, you're not going to move God to action by making him a promise that you know in your heart of hearts that you either cannot or will not keep. So it's better just to stay quiet, allow the Lord to work, send it to him in prayer, and be obedient to what it is that he tells you and what he shows you. Now, does that mean that it's wrong to make sincere commitments to God? No, I don't think it's wrong to make sincere commitments before the Lord, because you know what? We're going to mess up along the way. God knows that. None of us are perfect. The Word says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, which is true. But you know what? It's the attitude and the intent of the heart. You know, a lot of times when we're sitting there going, God, if you do this, we're trying to barter along the way with God. That's not what God wants. God simply wants us to bring our situations to him. He knows what our heart is. And I think it's all right to make a commitment to say, Lord, I really want to try as best I can to spend time with you daily in your word. I want to spend time with you in prayer daily, Lord. And I realize that I'm going to run into speed bumps on the road. I'm probably going to run into pits along the road, but I'm asking you to help me along the way. See, that's different than trying to barter with God to get him to do something for you and simply because you have promised to do something for him in return. And God knows all this stuff, but he's like, look, don't come in here with a bunch of empty promises. Don't come in here saying all these things. Don't make a vow and break it. Yeah, I'd rather you just not make a vow at all. You know, and any of us who've ever experienced that kind of a thing before, you understand. Yeah, you know, somebody's come up and they're like, well, I'll tell you what, if you'll help me do this, I'll do that. And in your heart of hearts, you're like, you're not going to do that. You're not going to help me out with this. You're not going to be able to fulfill what you've said you're going to fulfill. You already know that. And yeah, maybe you choose to go on and help them or do whatever. As long as you do that knowing that they're not going to keep their end of the bargain. You know, so God's saying, look, you don't have to do that. Don't come at me with promises. I know what your heart is. I know these type things. You're not moving me to do something that is otherwise out of my will, but just trust me. Trust me and be obedient to me. That's what he's saying. Okay. So again, I'm not saying that it's that it's wrong to make a sincere commitment to God in certain things that he's worked in your heart about. So make sure you understand the difference between those two. If you've made a commitment to God and you haven't kept it, I'm just going to say this. What do you think you should do? Now, I'm going to go back to that question again. If you have made a commitment to God and you have not kept it, and by the way, the Holy Spirit's already telling you right now what that was or what that commitment is, what should you do about this? Yeah? What are you going to do? I mean, are you just going to let it keep on riding? There's a reason why your heart's being convicted right now. What are you going to do about it? You need to go to the Lord. You need to talk to him about it. You need to decide, first of all, is it the commitment that you made? Is it one that you should that you should strive to fulfill? Is it one that you made out of the haste of the moment or the tension of the moment? Take it to God and get it worked out. There's a reason why he is putting it on your heart right now. Okay? So deal with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit deals with you. Now, you know, what are some of the commitments that you have made to God that have brought you closer to him? Now, there are some people who have said, well, you know what? I am going to be committed this year. Now, maybe they made a New Year's resolution and said, I'm going to be in church as often as I can. I'm going to try not to miss any Sundays or any Bible studies. I'm going to try to be there every time I possibly can. Now, we're getting ready to go into the fifth month. All right, so you're almost 5 months let's just say 4 months in to this year. Have you kept your commitment? You know, maybe you have. Maybe you've had some ups and downs. Maybe there have been some goods and some bads. But the bottom line is, in doing so, as you did that, these are things that have brought you closer to God. These are things that as you've heard sermons preached, that worked specifically in your heart and life to draw you closer to him. Maybe you got involved in a Bible study, a Sunday school class, a small group of some sort. And these are things that are bringing you closer to God. But they take some commitment. You know, I've said before, if you're going to be in church, it takes commitment. Now, I'm going to step on another landmine here because people don't like it. And I've shared this. I shared it, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, and I told parents. Parents, when you're raising your children, what's going to be important to your children as they grow up are the things that are important to you. If you do not make godly things, such as church attendance, Bible study, prayer time, if those things are not important enough to you that your children see you involved in those things, then I will make you a 100% guarantee that they will not be committed to doing those things either. So many times people sit back and say, well, I just don't understand why my children don't want to have anything to do with Jesus after they graduated from high school. And, you know, I've sat there with them before and I said, well, look, you let them call the shots in everything along the way, whether they went to church, whether they went to ball games, whatever it was that they did. Now, I know for some of y'all are going, man, this guy's sounding really, really old fashioned. Maybe I am. But you know what? I've seen it work and I've seen it go the other way. If the commitments that you have, whatever commitments they are going to be the ones that are going to be important to your children. So if godly things, church, Bible study, Sunday school, if those things are not a part of your life, then don't expect them to be a part of your children's lives as they go forward. Those are just plain, hard, straight up truths. Okay, maybe there are some commitments that you made that you haven't kept that you need to get straightened out. Maybe there are some commitments that you've made that have drawn you closer to the Lord. I pray that there are. Now, in his instructions about worship, Solomon says in verse 7, God is the one you must fear. Let me go down to verse 7. Verse 7 says, for in a multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear God. Fear God. Now, don't be afraid of him. Now, some of you may say, well, you know, with the stuff I've done, I should be afraid of him. Okay? Maybe you are. But this is a fear meaning reverence. And remember, we defined reverence a few minutes ago. So it is important for us to fear or to reverence God. That is the main reason why we do what we do, particularly when it comes down to worship. Now, I want to tell you, it is easy to get off track. We can make our worship services about everything but worship. But the question is, when you go into a worship service, are you going there to meet God? Are you going there to be still in His presence? Are you going in there to hear His word, to hear from Him, to be obedient to what He leads you to do, and to do so in the most extreme and reverent way? Okay? That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is telling us. It is important for us to have a healthy fear of God, meaning a reverence. It is dire that you and I have a healthy reverence and fear of Him. Okay? Now, think about this. In your life, in what ways does your life, your personal life, reflect a healthy fear or reverence of God? You know, some of you may say, well, you know, I go to church, or well, that's good. That shows that that it's important to you. But it doesn't mean anything if you don't live by the word as you've been taught as you attend church. There are tons of people who go to church every Sunday, but they live their life in a worldly fashion Monday through Saturday. And the problem with that is all the people who know them, all the people who see them, realize that their commitment to God is empty. It is hollow. That's the testimony that they have. Well, church didn't help so-and-so. He goes on Sunday. He looks good. He sings loud, but his life doesn't reflect the promises. Remember what was that God said? God said, I prefer your obedience over your sacrifice. Okay? So are you being obedient to what it is that the Master has for each and every one of us? It is extremely important that we have a healthy, healthy fear or reverence to God Almighty. And it's important that our lives reflect that so that we might be the witnesses that God wants us to be as we go forward in life. So what we need to do today and every day is to pray that we will learn to listen to God and obey Him. That's really what this boils down to, being able to listen to Him. You shut your mouth and open your ears. Listen to God, and then what you hear, obey from Him. Okay? We're going to have that prayer here in just a moment, but let me go on and give you this week's Bible readings. This week, we're actually going to be looking at the book of books of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 through Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Once again, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 through Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And next week, we will discuss the unpredictability of life out of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 through 18. You won't want to miss that. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to You, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that You still speak to Your children. Lord, You've never left us nor forsaken us. And Lord, we have the opportunity to gather as Your children in the church, the place that we call church. Lord, I pray that as we do so, that we will do so with the right spirit, that we will do so with the right heart, that we will come into Your presence in still reverence, that we might hear from You, that You might teach us, and that we might hear very, very clearly what You want for each and every one of our lives on a personal and individual basis, as well as on the corporate level of the church. So Lord, help us to listen and help us to obey. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise You for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, we're so, so glad that you joined us for our Bible study today of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be in the area and you don't have a church, we would love for you to come and worship with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 in our sanctuary. There is another church, Awaken Church, that meets in our multi-purpose building, but we're actually in the sanctuary there. We would love to have you come by and worship with us. Know in the meantime that we will be praying for you, our viewing audience, and trusting that God is going to do some incredible things in your life. God bless you. Have a great week.